Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you again this morning, and special welcome to those of you who are watching in the room behind me. I'm streaming from a second week down here at Chalkstone Community Centre, and I know a few folks are watching us in the hall behind us. Just remind you, if you'd like to join us here on a Sunday morning and watch the live stream, please feel free to do so. It'd be really great to know if you're coming. You let us know on the Wednesday beforehand. Just helps a little bit so that we can get the seats arranged and everything. But hey, it's lovely to be with you again this morning. So let's just pray, shall we? And then we're going to sort of have a little worship time together with a song we played the other week. And yeah, so let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we love you and we think you're amazing, Lord. Lord, in the context of the changing world and many things around us that could be distressing, Lord, we know that you are the anchor of our souls, Lord. And we just love the fact that we can connect with you together, Lord. And in that sense, Lord, share in our fellowship with one another around your presence. So Holy Spirit, in each home and in each place we're gathered this morning to watch, I pray there will be a special sense of your manifested presence, Lord, amongst us, Lord, in each place. Help us to know you a little bit better, Lord Jesus, and to love you a little bit more because of the time that we share together this morning. We think you're amazing, Lord. We love you. Amen. Amen. We're gonna worship together in first song. It's a song that is a sort of from one of the a child's or young person's site, but I love this song and loads of energy. And unless you're in the hall watching on the stream, you're not able to sing out loud, but if you're on your own at home or whatever like that, then please, you know, just feel to go for it, won't you? Feel free to go for it and to just let God know how much you love him as you shout and worship, and you can dance to this as well if you really want to. Okay, nobody's watching. That's great.
Every move I make.
I love that, don't you? I wasn't really jigging around here in my little office. So that was fantastic. Great, okay, we've got quite a few notices for you this morning. I've got a few sort of video notices as well. So just the first one though, just want to remind you that, as mentioned last week, you know, people are getting stressed about Christmas and how much is that going to be affected, and you know what that's going to be. But you know, let's get beyond that sort of concern about sort of thinking, is it going to be different? And let's see whether we can find opportunity in this time to be able to share Christ and to celebrate his coming into the world in ways that, you know, really are meaningful in this season. And so what we thought we would do, rather than just trying to be clever, that we just gather together and pray at least for one evening and just say, God, is there something specific that we can do? Something of your heart that we can communicate in this season? In a season when people might be losing hope, that they can find that hope in you. So if you're around this week, if you've not already got something happening that evening, 8 o'clock on Zoom, there's the details are there, and they'll also be in the email this week. I sent them out last week as well. So, you know, great. If you want to join us for that, that would be really, really great. But if you can't join us, please also be praying, won't you, that we get some wisdom from God in terms of what we can do for Christmas. Great. Okay, well, I've got a few sort of video notices now, so I'll play them back to back. So hopefully they'll be helpful. There's quite a few of them, but, you know, they're great and some and really inspiring as well. So.
Years ago, back in 2000, I actually had, a vision, a vision from God, which was about restoring the walls of Haverhill. Obviously, it's based on Nehemiah 2:17, which speaks about restoring the walls of Jerusalem. But for me, I knew exactly what that was. It was about restoring family lives, restoring marriages, you know, just being involved in family life, and obviously restoring people's relationship ultimately with God. You probably know, or if you've been around River of Life, you'll know that I took some time off in March, April, May, a bit of a sabbatical, and a time to rest, a time to refresh, and a time to renew. And that's exactly what happened. It also coincided with lockdown, so I had no choice but to stay at home. And God really spoke to me about reconnecting with that vision from Nehemiah 2:17. And as I pondered this a little bit more, as I looked at this, I actually thought to myself, have we actually completed the task that God gave us to do, or God gave me to do? And I actually come to the conclusion that there are many, many gaps in the walls. And so what I would like to do is I'd like to invite you along to a meeting on the 7th of October. It's going to be an online meeting. There'll be details on the River of Life Facebook page. Come along and, you know, just I'll do a little bit of a presentation, maybe 10 minutes or something like that. But I really want to open it up where we can actually look at some of the issues that are facing many of the people here in Haverhill, because there are many lives which are broken, and we've got a fantastic opportunity. You know, in many respects, you could say we've got lots of restrictions, but instead, you know, we have a fantastic opportunity to reach many more people's lives. And so, like I say, I'd love to invite you along to explore this a little bit further, maybe to pray, maybe to, you know, just to hear other people's hearts about restoring people's lives in and around Haverhill. Because do you know what? God is really interested in the people, and his work isn't done yet. And this is, you know, an amazing opportunity that we have right now in making a difference to the people around us. So check out the Facebook page on River Life Facebook page, 7th of October. Around about 7:30 p.m. That's church time, isn't it? And there again, we'll explore this a little bit further. Thank you very much, and look forward to discussing this and looking a little bit deeper into this further then. Thank you.
Yeah, so this will be posted on the Facebook page a little bit later on. And it'll be on the email this week as well. So if you want to find out those details from that meeting on Wednesday evening.
Hello and welcome to the Food Bank Warehouse. We're so pleased that you could be here with us. It's amazing, you know, we are bursting at the seams with food. It's incredible, the goodness of God. If you can cast your mind back just 6 months ago when all our supermarket shelves were empty and maybe even some of our shelves at home were empty as well, it was such a different situation, wasn't it? But now we can honestly say that God has been so good, so faithful in these last 6 months that now we've hardly got room to put the food. It's amazing and it's an interesting problem to have, but we're going to get through it. And we're really pleased and thankful for all the food that's been given at the supermarkets and through personal donations. And we're coming up to harvest now. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? Even going to church is interesting during these times. But normally we would want to be singing our songs of thankfulness to God, our harvest hymns, and yet we're not able to do that at the moment. And harvest is going to have a different take on it this year. But what we want to say is that there are still people in need. There are still people who are desperate for the light of Jesus to be in their lives. And even if it's just, you know, taking food round and giving them something as simple as tinned ham and fruit juice, it's something that they need. It's a way that we can step in the gap and serve our local community. And so we're going to say yes to any donations that are given. We're really appreciative for anything that is given. And if you want to give with food, we'll take that. But if you want to give financially, we'll readily accept that too. So just head to our website and you'll be able to find out ways in which you can help and the easiest way in which you can donate. But we want to say, please do not stop praying for us and do not stop praying for the people of this town. People still need to know about God's love, and we have still got so much more to do. And we're finding out every day new ways of doing things with restrictions and all that. You know, we have to work differently, don't we? We have to work differently and think differently. But we know with your backing, with your prayers, that we can work out the purpose of God in this town. And so our prayer is that we will still be able to serve the people who are in need and that we can meet their need directly. So whatever it is, whether it be debt, whether it be housing situation, whether it be food, whether it be clothing that they need to get for their children, whatever it is, we pray that we will be able to help local people in our town. So thank you for your support and we do appreciate it. And as I said, head to our website and there will be lots of details and lists of anything that you wish to donate. Thank you so much.
Hello everyone. I thought I'd do a short video to explain a little more about the prayer walking that Alex and I will be beginning on Sunday afternoon, the 11th of October. You can see behind me a little map of Haverhill. Would you like to see Haverhill transformed for Christ? Would you like to see God's kingdom come and his will be done in Haverhill as it is in heaven? Well, if so, you're invited to join with Alex and I to pray together and walk around some of the streets of Haverhill for 2 hours every other Sunday afternoon for the next 6 months. Why go prayer walking? Well, there's many reasons, but two biblical examples are that Joshua and the Israelites walked around Jericho before the walls collapsed. Nehemiah walked around Jerusalem before God enabled him to rebuild those walls in record time. Plus, I think a little bit like one aspect of fasting is it shows God how serious and committed we are. James tells us that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. There's three ways that you can be involved, if you want, over the next 6 months. One, physically join in the prayer walking and praying every other week. Secondly, you can virtually participate at home at the times others are walking and covering the same streets. And thirdly, you're invited to join a 1 hour monthly prayer meeting on Sunday evenings. What will be prayed? Well, there's many things as the Holy Spirit guides you in any particular area. But basically, the central theme will be as in Jeremiah 29, verse 7, which says, "Seek the peace, prosperity, and welfare of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper and find your welfare." If you'd like a little more information, with no commitment expected or even anticipated, please email me at reynoldswv@gmail.com and I'll send you more details. That email address will be up on the Facebook feed there and also in the newsletter. I'm looking forward to some of you joining with us to persevere in asking God, seeking God, and knocking on heaven's door for him to move powerfully in Haverhill. I mean, why not here? Why not now, in our time and in our day? But one thing I know for sure, it won't happen without prayer. Thanks for watching. Bless you all.
Brilliant. Some really exciting stuff there, isn't there? And I thought it would actually be really good for us to just perhaps spend a few moments praying into some of those things. I just point out that Henry has put there on the feed, he's put the link through to the Reach Harvest page. And Jack, that is it's a great to see that map, isn't it, behind Bill there as he's sharing about prayer, and then visually just seeing the town on that map behind. Just it struck me as Bill was sharing there that the two examples he gave, one was the pulling down of walls that were opposing the people of God, and then another was about the building up of the walls that were meant to surround the people of God. And that's interesting, isn't it, that that in that prayer, two examples of prayer walking, there is the pulling down of those things which stand against the kingdom of God, if you like, and the building up of something better. And so that can be our prayer, that as we're prayer walking around, that we're seeking the prosperity, the goodness, we're seeking to bless our community, we're seeking for God to bless this town, to bless this community, and that's really exciting, isn't it? You know, so let's just pray for a few moments, shall we? And notice Bill's also put his email on there if you want to get in touch with him about the prayer walking. So let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you that scriptures encourage us to pray on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests, and that with that in mind, we're encouraged to be alert and always keep praying for all of the saints. And so, Lord, we want to take up that biblical mandate, Lord, that instruction that comes from you to be a people of prayer who bring before you the things that are happening around us and in us and through us, Lord, to your throne for your blessing and your guidance and your direction. And Father, we want to start with just some of the things that we've just identified today, Lord. We want to pray for you to bless Reach as they continue to be an expression of your heart and your love into our community, that people find hope in hopeless times. And Lord, we pray you will resource them in every way possible. And Lord, in this season of harvest, that even, Lord, that they would be able to express the harvest of heaven through the practical things that they bring about, Lord, that they're involved with. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you'd also give us wisdom to be the best representation of you, both in social action, Lord, and in heart and love and in spiritual encounter in our community. Lord, we pray for you to engage us with this prayer walking, this bringing of the blessing of heaven onto earth, God, as we seek you to. And Lord, we want to pray that you would help us to prepare for Christmas and to express you and your joy and to be peace on earth and joy and goodwill to all people, Lord, during that season. So Lord, just guide us and protect us. We continue to pray for your blessing upon our town, upon our community, upon those who make decisions on our behalf, Lord, in local authority. Lord, will you bless them? Will you guide them? Will you give them your strength and peace? Lord, we also pray, Lord, for our nation, Lord, as we seem to be on an increase in viruses, Lord, and an increase even in people that are sadly getting really sick during this season, Lord, and for families that are still struggling with loss and the pain that goes with that in this season, Lord, we pray that Holy Spirit, that you would stop this virus. God, that's the bottom line of our prayer, is that, Lord, you would stop this virus. Lord, you either do that miraculously or you do it through a vaccination, and whatever it may be, that God, that we would come to the end of this terrible season, Lord. We want to pray, Lord, for those that make decisions in national level and around the world, that God, you would bring, Lord God, wisdom and direction in that, Lord. And Lord, we want to pray too, Lord, for those particularly those that we know and love overseas, who are in situations where there is less support, there is less structure. God, would you be with them, and would you bring peace and healing? And Lord, for anybody that's moment in time that is in need of a healing touch from you, God, Lord, will you move? Will you act? And God, will you help us to be your voice and your expression of love wherever it is needed? We love you, God. We think you're amazing. And we thank you, God, that in hopeless times, you are always our great hope and our great peace and our great strength. We love you for it, God. Amen. So we're going to share a few words with you from the scriptures, and I hope that this is a blessing to you. Great. Okay. Well, Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, and they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Then the disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but they have done everything to him, everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Let's just pray, shall we? So, Heavenly Father, we just pray that we will grow in our understanding of the scriptures and our ability to be your people in this season. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, great. So we've been just taking a little gentle walk through Matthew 16, now into 17, and we're going to, if things keep going the way they are, we're moving to 18. And I suggested to you that just thinking about the dynamics of church and how we have church, and we thought a little about Matthew 16 and how we get church by knowing who Jesus is. And then I suggested last week that we can slip in our capacity to be church by walking away from the servant-heartedness of Christ and the way that he calls us into that. And in this journey that I think that Matthew takes us on here, the next thing that he talks to us about is this trip up the mountain. The mountain that Jesus takes with Peter, James, and John. It seems that Jesus had a sort of like a real crack core group in the middle of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he revealed perhaps a little bit more to them as those that were going to be sort of perhaps those that really central to leading things forward in the early days of the church. And so we have this account, don't we, of Jesus taking them up the mountain. Now we're going to be thinking here about what, in one sense, we can learn from this that's going to help us to be the church that God wants us to be in this season. So, up the mountain. The picture of going up the mountain, particularly in relation to Moses and Elijah suddenly being there, conjures up images of moments when God really spoke to Israel in the Old Testament and some quite incredible things happened. And in particular, there were times with both Moses and Elijah in the Old Testament when they were encountered God on the mountain. And so perhaps that imagery comes in here, that Moses receiving the law on Mount Sinai, or Elijah being restored and refreshed and encouraged and recommissioned up the mountain in 1 Kings, wherever it is. You have to use a Google to look that one up, or a concordance, or whatever it is that you use. And so on those occasions, you know, both Moses and Elijah, they have moments with God. One is about receiving the law, and the other, and maybe as well on this mountain encounter, the other images that we're meant to be bringing to mind here in Moses, God and the law, and the Old Testament law, and the living by the law, but perhaps with Elijah, as we see Elijah come into the frame here, that the image that we're grappling with and we're getting to look at is the idea of the miraculous. So just putting those two thoughts out there as a way of sort of perhaps thinking about this passage, in comes Peter, our great hero. You know, the guy who, you know, the impulsive guy who sometimes gets it right, sometimes he just like, oh no, Pete, did you really have to say that? And so on this occasion, we get Peter turn up and he basically sort of says, you know, wow, this is amazing. I'm seeing what we're seeing here. This is amazing, and so then he just gets overwhelmed with the moment. You know, Peter is credited as being the only person in the Bible who is told to stop talking by all three members of the Godhead. You know, Jesus said, or be rebuked by all three members of the Godhead. So, you know, Jesus previously, when Peter said, you know, Lord, you shouldn't sacrifice, Jesus says to him, you know, get behind me, Satan. You know, you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. If you look in the book of Acts, Peter's preaching away to Cornelius' house, and the Holy Spirit just comes and moves on them anyway. It's almost like that, Peter, stop talking, man. We've got work to do here. And on this occasion, Peter again thinks it's moment for him to pearl out some pearls of wisdom. And the Father has to say, stop, this is my son, listen to him. But actually, I think there's a bigger thing going on here. You see, how do we handle moments of glory? Moments when we really get a moment from God and you think, wow, that was an amazing move of God. What do we do in those moments? You know, do we, like Peter, want to say, let's build a monument here and stay here? You see, in one sense, you could say, he's saying, let's build a monument and stay with the legalism of the law. Let's build a monument and stay with the miraculous encounters of Elijah. Let's stay in this particular personal encounter, this moment when we're seeing Jesus in all his glory. And Peter says, let's build a tabernacle. Let's build a monument. Let's build a structure. Let's stay here in this place. And it's interesting that we sometimes do that, don't we? That we hanker after the days gone by and we say, God, wow, God, you came in the revivals of the early Pentecostal movement, or you came in the early days of the charismatic movement, or you came in the days of Wesley, and oh, if only we could get back to those days. If only we could get ourselves back to the early days and the passion of the early church and all of those things. There's a little verse in Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 10, that I've just been thinking a little bit about over the last few days. And I think it speaks into this particular thing. I've been studying the wisdom books quite a lot, so perhaps that's why it's in my head. But Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 10. In fact, this morning I did some lectures on it, so you know, I'm recording this on Friday, just in case you hadn't guessed. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 10, do not say, why were the old days better than these? for it is not wise to ask such questions. And that's an interesting thought, isn't it? That it's not wise to say, you know, why can't we go back to the old days? Why exactly, you know, he says there, so why were the old days better than these? You see, what we're not doing in that statement is encountering the moment, the now, the here and now. And the writer to the Ecclesiastes says it's better to live, it's not so good to keep hankering back to the past. You see, we find ourselves in this season, don't we? We find ourselves in this season where we find ourselves that this church is not as it was and all those sorts of things. And I wonder whether this scripture speaks into that moment. You see, there's two trains of thoughts I'm getting here. The general principle is that we shouldn't just keep hankering back to days of glory of old. You know, we can, in one sense, get stuck in moments of church life when we think, oh, this is great right now. And we want to, or those days were great and we want to build a monument to that. We want to live in the miraculous encounters of the Hebridean revival or whatever it may be. Or we can, but the voice of the Father is to say, listen to the voice of Jesus. Listen to Jesus going forward. In other words, there is a conversation from Jesus that is for you in the here and now. But thinking about it in the context of the moment we're in right now, we could be hankering back to, well, the days when it was like this and was like that. But actually, we need the now voice of Jesus. This is a season of opportunity as well as a season of distress. It's a season when we can be thinking, when we shouldn't be saying the old days were better. We should be thinking, what is the voice of Jesus to lead us forward right now? What fresh expression of Christ, what expression, fresh expression of his kingdom can we work on and build and move forward with at this time? See, we get church by knowing who Jesus is, and we continue to live our church. We live in the fresh voice of Jesus day after day, morning after every morning. The beginning of the book of Revelation, you know, is really quite instructive. In the first three chapters, we get seven letters to seven churches, and Jesus writes to each of those churches. And the thing that we see as we read through those letters is that Jesus knows each church. He knows what's going on with them, he knows what's great there, and he knows what's challenging them, and he has something to say to each of them that's going to help them to become the best version that they can be of a corporate community called the church. So in this moment, let's not keep saying, oh, we want to get back to the old days. Let's encounter and embrace the moment, shall we? And say, in conversation with Jesus, say, Jesus, what do we need to be your people right now? What way do we need to shape and form to take your kingdom forward? What do we need to be? We do need to be together, and we do need fellowship, and we do all those things, but actually we need to do it in the way that we have to do it right now. And the voice of Jesus will lead us through. That's why it's so important. We're generating lots of times of prayer, because, you know, we want to hear from Jesus about what community action should look like in the future going forward, what Christmas should look like, you know, what our town, how God can bless our town, and how he can work here, and how this can be a place of the ongoing revival of Christ, you know, all of those things. That's why we're seeking God in prayer, because we want to live in the now voice of Jesus moving forward and not build monuments to the past. Do you want to be fresh? Do you want to be those that are living in the freshness of Jesus moving forward? If we do, then we really will have church. So Lord bless you. I hope these thoughts have been helpful to you. And let's chew them over, think about them, discuss them, and be what God has called us to be. Eh?
Great. I hope that was helpful. You know, one of the things that I love sometimes that happens in our times together, and is when some people independently prepare things and they somehow sync together. And Matt and Amy sent me this song this week that they'd you know, prepare for us to be able to play on a Sunday morning. And it just seemed to me to somehow capture something of the heart of what I've just shared there about, you know, inhabiting the glory of Jesus in an ongoing way, in the now way. So they're going to lead us in this song now. But there's a little introduction, which I think you're going to love the introduction as well as the song.
Good morning, church. Hope you're doing well. We just wanted to send or show you a quick video to introduce you to Jonah, who now we're in take three because my card got full, is slowly getting a bit more, what's the word for
fussy.
It? Fussy or tired. We're doing really well. He's almost 3 months old, which is crazy. Time goes so quickly. We're sad that not more of you have met him, but we hope you can see him soon. We just wanted to share with you a song today by Elevation Worship. It's been a song that's been on our hearts over this time. And the chorus simply says, "Will you meet me here again?" And that lyric has kind of been on our hearts. And we hope it encourages you for this time that's been difficult with COVID and restrictions. And becoming parents to this little man, we just long for God to meet us where we were and be encouraged by that. So we hope this encourages you and helps you worship this morning. And we hope to see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle is the place where you promised to be. Not enough unless you come and meet me here again. 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? And as I walk now through the let your love rise above every fear, like the sun shaping the shadows. In my weakness, your glory appears. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? I'm not enough unless you come. Place. The Lord is in this place. our bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? I'm not enough. I'm not enough unless you come.
So good, so good. It's so lovely to see little Jonah as well, wasn't it? And thank you, Matt and Amy, for introducing him to us all. And, you know, looks such a lovely little guy, doesn't he? And so thank you, Jonah, for introducing that song to us as well. Wow. Just feel like I'd like to break bread off the back of that song, really. There's something in that song, I don't know about you, but I was just sitting here just absorbed by a sense of the presence of God and you know, feeling quite overwhelmed by that idea, you know, Lord, you know, all I want is you. Will you meet me here again? In all that we're going through, that we just, that's what we need more than anything else, is that freshness of Christ in our life. That freshness of Jesus to just move us forward. And of course, as we break bread, what do? We remember the Lord, and we remember all that he is to us, and we remember all that he has done for us, and we remember that his body is broken for us so that we can have life. We remember that his blood was shed so that we could have an ongoing relationship and covenant with him. And so let's just pause for a moment and just let some of the anointing and the words of that song just touch our hearts and just celebrate that Christ wants to be with us, walking with us into all the next stage of our journey and adventure and life as individuals and as a church. So let's pause and just reach out to Jesus wherever you are. Take the bread and celebrate the body of Christ, which was broken for you and for me. The blood of Christ, which speaks to us of an eternal covenant. Lord, I'm not enough. Will you meet me here again? Christ can be at the centre of all of our lives. As a Christian, invite him into your life even more. In your workplace, in your home, in the good times and the hard times. If you're somebody who doesn't yet know Jesus, he's there for you. Just reach out and touch him. Invite him into your life. Ask him to show himself to you. Talk to a Christian and help them. Ask them to help you find him. He is enough. Whatever we need, he is enough. And Lord, I also just want to, as we come to the end of our time together as well this morning, just neglected to pray for our dear sister Ruth, Lord, and just want to pray for her, Lord, and as, you know, that she will make a speedy recovery after her surgery this week, Lord. We just pray for her. And Lord, I pray for anybody else in our community, Lord, that is in need of a touch from you in their body, in their life, in whatever it may be, that, Lord, they would know that this week. But let's just touch our hearts, shall we, and say, Lord Jesus, be in my heart this week. Be in my life, be in my thoughts, be in my passions, be in all that I am. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Well, Lord bless you. Have an amazing week. Let the light of Christ shine on you and through you, wherever you are. And let's live in a freshness from Jesus in the here and now, shall we? And seize the moment where we can, the day where we can bring the love and the light of Christ into whatever we're involved with and wherever we are. Great to be with you again this morning. Please join us now over on Zoom for a coffee and a chat. And if you're struggling for a conversation, why not talk about the message this morning or talk about something that's come up out of our time together this morning and encourage one another in your coffee time. So Lord bless you. Great to be with you again. God bless.